Welcome to the Infusing Computing web series. This is part of an NSF-funded research program that delivers computing-infused, STEM-focused professional development to middle and high school teachers across North Carolina and South Carolina.
Welcome everyone to the Infusing Computing web series. In this segment, we're going to talk about a content area. We're going to have a focus on math specifically. I'm joined by my friends and colleagues, Richard and Yuan. Can you please introduce yourselves?
I'm Dr. Richard Robinson from the Citadel. Super happy to be here and really enjoy talking about Infusing Computing.
Hi, everyone. I'm Yi Huan Dong, and I'm a PhD student at NC State University, and I'm very happy to join you today.
So, Richard, in our face-to-face workshops for the Infusing Computing project, we have a segment of the day known as Connect, where we basically convene teachers in a specific content area or a discipline and talk about what does computational thinking look like in those areas. And it's basically a focus on how do I, as a math teacher, make this happen in my classroom? What are some of the points that you highlight, or what is a big pain point that you highlight when you're speaking to those teachers?
When we first started discussing Prada, which is the way our research group decided to talk about computational thinking, and again, Prada just means patterned recognition. The A is abstraction, the D is decomposition, and the A is algorithm. So when we thought about computational thinking, and the way that we first decided to do it was just to break down those specific pieces and talk about them on a daily basis. And what we noticed for math teachers is a lot of those words, specifically pattern recognition and abstraction and algorithm, we use, but we use them in ways that we have commonly used them in mathematics, not thinking about putting on the computational thinking glasses and seeing the world from a computational thinking point of view. And for me and the teachers, we really found out, and they've helped, I think, this group to really understand Infusing so much better. It's about what computational thinking does for people in the field. So for people in computer science, when you think about pattern recognition, it's not what you would think of pattern recognition in mathematics, pure mathematics, because maybe oftentimes we do that just to appreciate the beauty of the Fibonacci sequence because it's beautiful. And I have colleagues here who do a lot of work specifically with the Fibonacci sequence. They have students that publish in, believe it or not, Fibonacci Quarterly. It's a great read if you haven't picked it up. Seeing the beauty in patterns is different from what a computational scientist might do, someone in computer science. They recognize a pattern because they see a repeated part and it allows them to see a loop, for example. So our colleague, Dr. Deepti Joshi, who works with us, would say that pattern recognition in computer science is about loops. So for us, that might mean in mathematics, looking at recursion, writing up maybe exponential growth as multiplying by the same thing every time. By seeing that repeated pattern of multiplying every time, I can now have a better understanding of what's going on. Abstraction for us, it seemed like, well, all we do is abstract in mathematics. Well, if you think about what it does, and I really had to pull this out of our computational thinking colleagues, our computer scientist colleagues, it's really about hiding the details. So while mathematicians do a lot of abstraction, for a computer scientist, it means hiding the details. So for example, it might mean taking, if you have an example where every time you make a podcast, I'm going to pay you $5. So that would be maybe that would be a linear function. So I can represent the whole thing. Every time you do a podcast, I add $5 and turn that into a linear function to where now all that is one thing, one object. I've abstracted that process into one object. So for mathematicians, that would be maybe variables and parameters and a function in general.
So let's take a step back. When we think about computational thinking, we look at it in, I'm assuming Yuan would think about computational thinking one way, and I would think about computational thinking another, and you would think about it a completely different way. Do you see there being something I'll use the word special, something special about the way a mathematician would view computational thinking? Or is it just the terminology that a mathematician would use? Or is there really a different way that computational thinking would look and operate in a math classroom?
I think the way that I'm understand it as of now, these different disciplines are a context for the conversation of computational thinking. If I want to stay true to computational thinking, pattern recognition means finding the repeated parts. What those repeated parts are changes from classroom to classroom. But I'm not allowed to just change the definition because I'm in a math class. I still have to hold true to how a computational scientist, a computer scientist might see it. You can call it whatever you want, but if you want to be true to the discipline of computer science, it would be looking for repeated parts. So maybe in an English class, when I walk in there, I stay true to repeated parts, and it's finding out how in poetry, really the beauty of using those repeated parts helps to make something come home. Or maybe, oh, God help us all, I know you may hate this as an English person, but the five paragraph essay, that is a bad way maybe to teach writing. But seeing that pattern, now what is in all good writing, it does things like it has some sort of an introduction. And at the end, really good writing brings it home to, now what did we talk about, right? So seeing those patterns is important.
Because I'm thinking about Venn diagrams. And I'm thinking about the, I don't want to totally mix metaphors here, but thinking about like the TPACK model. But if I have two Venn diagrams and one circle is math content area knowledge, and the other is computational thinking,
right?
Those two things exist on their own. If I bring them together where they overlap, there is some commonality. And I'm wondering, do things change? Yuan, what do you think about that?
I think there is definitely an overlap between computational thinking and specific kind of thinking process used in different disciplines. I think what is unique to computational thinking is when you try to apply what you're doing in specific content by like creating instruction for the computer to do it, or creating instruction for other people to do it. For the math content, when you're solving a problem, you recognize a pattern in the same type of problem. Whenever you see this type of problem, how do I solve this type of problem? How do I automate this process if I want a computer to be able to solve this problem? Or how do I automate this process so another person sees this similar type of problem, they can use my instruction to solve this kind of problem?
That makes me think of something wonderful. When you're thinking about, for example, calculus, when we teach calculus, people like to get to the rules where, please don't let me use the limit definition where I have to get in the weeds. I just want the rule that says every time you see x squared, the derivative is 2x. Why can I do that? Because someone has already written out, in a sense, it's almost like the algorithm, but the proof that gives me the step-by-step details of why anytime you have something to a power, the derivative is always nx to the n minus 1. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, but now by condensing that and making that something that I can reuse, I can go to a higher level of abstraction and do more work. So I would always say the thing for me is exactly what you said. It's making sure that Prada and computational thinking does some work for you. It's not just another thing, but appreciating the beauty of an algorithm that it condenses those steps so you can move forward into other levels of mathematics.
Richard, you talked about this before, and I want to lean in on a little bit. You talked about abstraction. I'll get you all out of here on this series of questions because I think it'll unfold into a couple different points. First off, what is abstraction? What does abstraction look like in a math environment? You mentioned earlier hiding the details. What is abstraction in math? And then what does hiding the details look like in my math classroom? If I'm teaching math in early elementary, if I'm teaching math in my high school classroom, what does abstraction look like? What does hiding the details look like? How do we get there? How do we begin?
If we're thinking about abstraction in maybe the middle school area at the end where we begin to talk about functions, like y is equal to mx plus b, if we look at the graph and it's a line, that really hides the work of maybe if I had y is equal to 2x plus 1, it hides the multiplying by 2 and then the adding 1, that whole process in just the beautiful picture of a line. But then if we move on up in general, and so a function 2x plus 1 becomes a whole object, and again, it hides those procedures of multiplying and adding. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing that I found out in pushing this with some of my colleagues here at the Citadel when we teach college students, we have people that are really wanting to build bridges and do interesting engineering stuff. So it's really important for them to understand if I have a model of one bridge, it may have parameters in it. So one parameter, W, is the maximum load this bridge can hold. Well, it's not a variable, because a variable is something that within one model I can change. It's a parameter, meaning in different situations, it stays fixed for a while. So this notion of abstracting parameter versus variable is super subtle, but kind of important, and it's really hard for students to grasp. For me, the heart of abstraction, especially in high school and college mathematics, is function, variable, and parameter. We don't take enough time to let students wrestle with that abstraction. Oftentimes we just assume that students know and they're doing it correctly just because they show a surface level correct answer, but they really need to wrestle and talk with us. What does variable mean to you? Why is this a parameter? What is a function of what in this abstraction? So is time a function of how many pizzas I make? If so, that's not good. No, it's over time I make more pizzas.
So if we think about abstraction and we think about hiding the details, this is one of the things that I've been learning from all of you as I make sense of computational thinking, is there's this understanding that we're not hiding the details to obfuscate something for the learner. We're hiding the details so that we can do more complex things. We don't need to spend time proving a fact that has already been proved by others. Now that we understand that and we take that as a given, we can solve more complex things. How would I begin with abstraction? Is this something that as a math teacher, I'm thinking about starting to make those connections in middle grades, late middle grades? Yeah. Or, you know, what's a good starting lesson to start to talk about abstraction with your students?
You can start it as pre-algebra, right? It's something representing something else. Hiding details can just mean that in Dr. Robinson's office, B is the number of books he has. B hides the details of me adding all these books, but it is so important that pre-algebra is so powerful. I would say we'll probably begin there.
And then we even see those behaviors, that's object permanence when we look at toddlers and infants. You know, once we start substituting one thing for another, in a way, I guess we're starting to talk about abstraction. I'm sure I just destroyed that and I'll hear about it in the comments. Yuan, what are your thoughts about abstraction? Any last words?
To me, like from a computer science perspective, to look at abstraction in the math content, I feel that abstraction also involves when you try to use math to solve a real life problem, you need to abstract away like the irrelevant details. For example, when you want to calculate the rate of a car's movement, like how the speed of a car, the relevant information is how much distance the car traveled and how long it takes for the car to travel this distance. And then you use those two pieces of information to calculate the speed. It doesn't matter how many people are in the car. It doesn't matter like what the color the car is. The only relevant information is the distance traveled and the time it used to travel this distance. So that is abstract the only the important information and hide all the irrelevant information away.
There's a value judgment there. Depending on the situation, what's valuable, you have to make some sort of decision. That's really interesting.
Right. And then you find the proper formula like to calculate speed. And then you reason like what is this variable should be, what is that variable should be, why they're relevant to this problem, how they are relevant to this problem. So that is kind of how abstraction can be helpful in this circumstance.
So when we talk about abstraction, one of my takeaways is that we're not just hiding the details for more complex thought, but we're also employing that critical evaluation skill or that relevancy or that or credibility perhaps, but we're basically hiding the irrelevant details. So to solve this problem, what's the data that I need and what's the other stuff that doesn't really matter? And it might lead to me getting an error, but basically what do I need in order to solve the problem and making sure I have the right information and the correct information and sort of ignoring the extraneous content. Richard, last words, this is your area.
Super exciting. I think you hit it great when you kept on reminding me to go back to middle school. I think the important thing is you could also look at these as values. So we're saying that these are the things that if you think about computational things, these are things that we value and think are important. And as such, I think you keep on bringing them up over and over again. So abstraction is important to a middle schooler, but it's also important to someone doing their PhD in mathematics. So I think it's important to continue to come back to these things that we value and revisit them from a more mature perspective as we go along.
On that note, thank you for listening as we take a deep dive into math. We'll see you in the next segment.